I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And to those who have traveled and come back, a very, very warm welcome to you. And a very welcome, warm welcome to those who come from interstate or from overseas. May the Lord be with you in a very special way, and we pray that all of us here this morning after the worship service may be able to say that it was indeed good to have been in the house of the Lord. Very good to see all of you. And then let me remind you once again the passage of time. We are coming to the end of the first quarter of the year. Need I remind you this of this truth? I suppose I don't have to, but I think it's good for me to always try to remind you that time is passing by very, very quickly. Now, the Word of God tells us to redeem our time. In other words, to buy back time. Don't let time go away, but buy it back. Make use of our time well for the Lord. Soon, we will hear the midnight cry, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be here. Will we be ready to meet Him when He comes? Will we be able to hear Him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? And then what about those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? When the saints have been taken up, my dear friends, you will be left behind. Will you be one of those that will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, or will you be left behind? I trust, my dear friends, that all of us will check on ourselves and ensure that we will not be left behind when the Lord comes. Now, the subject this morning is the church. Now, the church is not, the church is a church. The church is not a monster. All right, you see that the church can be treated like a monster or can behave like a monster because members of the church may want the church to behave like a monster. Now, years ago when I was a kid, there was one event that I was very fond of looking forward to, and that was this roadside Chinese opera show. In Singapore, we call it the Chinese Wayang. Now, it was like a fun fair. It was like a fun fair because during the event, there will be lots of hawker stalls that line the streets, and the hawker stalls offered very, very good food, and they were very, very attractive indeed. Now, I was a little kid, of course, I enjoyed all those kinds of food. So I was always looking forward to this big show that came to town. Now, there was one stall that up to today, I can never forget. Now, this stall was exhibiting something that was supposed to be a wonder. So we had to pay a couple of cents to view this show. Right. So we walk up a few steps, and then we look down into a cage, just like the way you look into a well. And what I saw was really very, very shocking. Yes, it looked like a monster, but really it was a human being, not a monster. You know why it was like a monster? Because that person was just a head, nothing but a head. Because the hands of the person, the arms of the person were underdeveloped, the legs of the person were also underdeveloped. I couldn't see the legs anyway, but I saw the arms. Yes, you know, I was a little kid, I can still remember quite vividly the picture of that person who was at the bottom of the cage. Yes, and then that person was mouthing lots of profanities, and of course in Teochew. Yes, because it was a Teochew Chinese wayang show. And now that poor fella was very monstrous looking. And he really was a very poor fellow to have been born that way, treated that way, exhibited that way. Now, can you imagine if the person wasn't even a head, but just an eye? Can you imagine that? What a monster that person would have been, just an eye. Now, can you imagine yourself and myself all going around, just an eye going around? All of us would be very monstrous looking. Yes, but yet, friends, that is what sometimes some members of certain churches want the church to be. Everybody and everybody in the church wants to play the same role. Everybody wants to do the same thing. Now, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone in the church has got a specific role to play. Now, if everybody wants to be the preacher, can you imagine this church? Everybody wants to be the preacher. Then where are the congregation members? Where are those who sit in the pew? Where are the musicians? And then where are the ushers? Now, can you imagine if everybody wants to be the pianist in this church? Wow, every Sunday, everybody wants to play the piano. No congregation members, no ushers, no person to control the PA. Now, then can you imagine if everybody in this church wants to be a Sunday worshiper who sits on the pew? Can you imagine that? No preacher, no pianist, no nothing but all worshippers seated at the pew. What kind of church would that be? Yes, my dear friends, the church would be very, very monstrous indeed. But thankfully, the Lord wills that the church be made up of a variety of people with a variety of talents, with a variety of gifts. And so we read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 11. Verse 8. But to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now today, likewise, the church is made up of a variety of people with a variety of skills, with a variety of talents, variety of gifts. Although the sign gifts have already been withdrawn because there is no necessity for sign gifts or miraculous gifts today, as we said in our last message, because sign gifts or miraculous gifts were given for the purpose of authenticating the message and the messenger. But today, the Bible is already completed. We have the whole Bible, therefore there is no longer any need for sign gifts or miraculous gifts, and so these gifts have been withdrawn. Now, in the church, there are preachers, I mean talking about the church today, there are preachers, there are teachers, there are counselors, there are those who are given to hospitality, there are those who are good at doing administration, there are those who are good at attending to physical work in the church, and then there are those who can play the instruments, and then there are those who are good at doing the children's ministry. Now what a beautiful, beautiful church the church will be if everybody and everybody knows his part and knows his part well, and he knows that that is the part that the Lord has assigned to him. Yes, and he knows what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. What a beautiful church that will be. And verse 12 says, for as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. We all belong to the body. We all belong to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of this body. Now the question is, how we believers became a part of that body? How did we become a part of that body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now it is true, we say that we received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we became a part of that body. But in truth, you look at verse 13, in first chapter 12, verse 13. In truth, this is really what happened, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we became a part of this body, not because we enrolled ourselves into the church membership. We did not become a member of this body because we signed up and became a member of Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church. Now you could be a member of Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church. Legally speaking, you are on the membership roll, but you need not necessarily be a part of this body. Even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is actually the church universal. Now the church universal is the church that is made up of believers who live in time past, believers who are living now, and believers in the future. This whole lot of people make up the church universal. And as I said, you can be on the membership roll of Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church, but you might not be a member of the church universal. My dear friends, you do not become a member of the church universal through water baptism. Baptism does not make you a part of this body. And you do not become a part of this body just because you were born into a Christian home. Now, God's word is very, very clear. We become believers or become a part of this body because we have been baptized into this body by God's mighty Holy Spirit. And what does it mean? What it means is that it was the Holy Spirit who incorporated us into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what is meant by being baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear friends, we have to be incorporated into this body. Now the question is, are you a part of this body? Now, if you have not been incorporated into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not a part of this body. And how? My dear friends, the Holy Spirit opens your heart, and then if you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will become a part of this body. So, the point is this, which is really my first point. The church is made up of Holy Spirit incorporated members. Yes, as I said, the word baptized here does not refer to water baptism, but it means to be incorporated. To be baptized into the body means to be incorporated into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ by God's mighty Holy Spirit. Now, this baptism here refers to a one-time-only event that took place in time past when the Holy Spirit incorporated us into the body of Christ. Yes, on that occasion, the Holy Spirit opened our heart, as I mentioned earlier on. He opened our heart, and He caused us to be born again. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and dwelt in us, and we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if you haven't really trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, haven't repented from your sins, you are not part of this body. Now, this verse also teaches us that we have been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, in other words, it was not we who made ourselves drink into one Spirit. It is not we who made ourselves. It was the Holy Spirit who made us drink into one Spirit. As I said earlier on, the Holy Spirit opened our heart, and then He caused us to drink of this one Spirit, drink into one Spirit. And this Holy Spirit here that we drink into is also the living water that was referred to by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John. Yes, the Holy Spirit was referred to as living water by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, friends, really there is nothing that we can boast about that qualifies us to be a member of this body. Nothing. Nothing we have that we can boast about that qualifies us to be a member of this body. We do not have any merit at all. It was actually simply by the grace of God who elected us from eternity past to be His. And there was a point in time when the Holy Spirit very, very graciously incorporated us or baptized us into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this body is made up of a variety of people with a variety of talents, something that I have already mentioned, but I want to talk about it a little further. And this is my next point. Now, this body is made up of all kinds of people. There is no racial distinction in this body. It is made up of Jews, it is made up of Gentiles. And this body has no class distinction. It is made up of both slaves and free people. In those days, the church had slaves. Yes, the church was made up of slaves. The church was made up of free people. Now, this church here appears to be a Chinese church, because most of us here have got this Chinese ethnicity. Yes, so it appears to be a Chinese church. But in reality, there is no such a thing as a Chinese church. Did you realize that? In reality, no such a thing. You see, the church is part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is for all races, for all classes of people, whether they be rich, whether they be poor. No one in this body of Christ should feel that he's superior to other people because of race, because of wealth, because of class. And nobody in this body should feel that he's inferior to other people because of wealth, because of race, or because of class. No, my dear friends, understand this truth. We are all, everyone, wretched sinners in the sight of the one true living God. But for the grace of God, we would never have been incorporated into this body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is absolutely nothing for anyone to boast about. Nothing. Yes. And no one in this body should feel that he's useless. Yes. Look at verses 14 to 16. Nobody should feel that he's useless. Verses 14 to 16. For the body is not one body, not one member, but many members. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, as we already said, the body is not just one member. If the body is made up of just one member, the body is really a monster. No member, therefore, should ever feel that he is useless or she is useless. No one should feel that he's useless if he's not something that appears to be useful. Now, for example, the foot cannot say say that it is not a part of the body because it is not the hand. The foot is very, very much a part of the body and is very useful to the body. Yes, neither can the ear say that it is not part of the body because it's not the eye. The ear is very, very important to the body. Every part of the body is useful. And you don't realize how useful the various parts of your body are until you injure one of your parts. For example, if you were to just injure your tiny little finger, I tell you, you then realize that your little finger is really very, very useful. Some might say, but I'm too old to be of any use in the church. Now, I want to assure those who are senior in years that you are useful. Yes, don't think of yourself as being not useful. Your very presence in the church is already very, very useful. Your very presence in the church is already a great, great encouragement to the younger people in the church. Now, those of us who have been here longer would remember these two Aussie ladies. You remember these two old Aussie ladies, Grace and Vi? Remember that? They used to worship with us years ago on occasions they would come. Yes, Grace at that time was already about 80 plus, going 90. And Vi, the younger lady, was close to 80. Now, they had been receiving our Read, Pray, and Grow notes, our RPG notes. And they knew that these notes came from Singapore. I don't know how they received those notes, but they received those notes. And they knew that those notes were produced in Singapore. So there was a time when they visited Singapore, and they wanted to find the source of these notes. And they traced the source to Dr. Toh's clinic. And then they discovered that the church that was behind the production of the RPG notes was Calvary Pandan Bible Presbyterian Church, our mother church in Singapore. So what did they do? On the Lord's Day, in the evening, they took not a taxi. They took a public bus and traveled from downtown Orchard Road to our church in Singapore in Pandan Gardens. Can you imagine that? Two old persons, very, very strangers in the city of Singapore, and they took that bus, public bus, from Orchard Road down to our church in Pandan Gardens. Would it not be an encouragement to the congregation members in the church? What do you think? I say, people look at them and say, these old people, they'll make that special effort to come to church. What about me? I'm healthy, strong. Why shouldn't I be coming to church? And why shouldn't I be coming to church early? And by the way, they came to church early. Yes, they did. So my dear friends, the older folks here, let us not think that we are not useful. We are useful by the very presence. Our very presence Yes, we will be an encouragement to younger people in the church. Now then, if you are tempted to think that you are too insignificant to be useful in the church, let me refer you to the case of this little boy. Remember that little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes among the crowd of 5,000 whom the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching to by the Sea of Galilee. Now these people had been with the Lord hearing him for about 2 or 3 days or so, and they ran out of food and they were hungry. Now what could this little boy do to feed the 5,000? What could he do with his 5 loaves and 2 fishes? My dear friends, he gave his 5 loaves and 2 fishes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord multiplied them and fed the 5,000. So friends, never let us say that we are too insignificant to be of use for the Lord. The question really for all of us here is whether or not we are willing to give what we have to the Lord. Just as that little boy was willing to give his 5 loaves and 2 fishes to the Lord for him to make use of. And if we are willing to surrender our talents to him, our talents may be 5, we might have 5 talents, or we might have 2 talents or 1 talent. But if we are willing to surrender our talents to him, whether our talents be few or whether our talents be more, the Lord is able to make use of them to be a great blessing to other people and to bring honor and glory to his name. So, my dear friends, the question is whether we are willing or not willing to surrender our talents to him. So let us not say that we are too insignificant to be useful to him. My dear friends, he can use our talent for his glory, for sure. The question is, are you willing to surrender that talent to him? That's the question. Now, the body is not one member. If it is, as we said, that body will be a monster. Now, friends, the church has got no place for envy. Yes, it is not one talent. Everybody should not be eyeing to have that that kind of talent. No, my dear friends, if we don't do that, there will be no envy in the church. Now, the ear cannot envy the eye. Yes, now, if the ear cannot envy the eyes, neither the nose can envy the ear. Now, if the whole body is an eye, how can the body hear? Yes, and if the whole body is just a nose, yes, how can the body hear? Or if the whole body is the whole body is a ear, how can it smell? So, verse 17 says, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? Now the Apostle Paul had to use such pictorial language to show how ridiculous it was for members of the church to be envious of one another. Now, envy is a very, very terrible sin. It breaks God's law. Which law does it break? Thou shalt not covet. All right. Thou shalt not covet. Yes, God tells us that envy is a very, very terrible sin. Did you know that envy is worse than wrath? It is worse than anger. The word of God in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 27, verse 4 says, yes, wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? You see how terrible envy is. Now, don't let us think that it is only those people who appear to be unspiritual who are capable of being envious. I can tell you this, those people who are pursuing holiness or appear to be pursuing holiness can also be envious. Now, this is a fable, all right, a fictitious story. One time, the Satan's agents were trying to tempt this hermit to sin. Yes, but this hermit seemed to be invincible. There was no way that Satan's subordinates could tempt him to sin. And he was located in somewhere in North Africa. Now, Satan was very, very angry with his subordinates for failing to tempt this hermit. He said, "You folks are useless. Yes, let me do it myself. Yes, you watch me. Your methods are all very crude, but you watch me." And so he approached this hermit and whispered into his ears and said to him, "Hey, your fellow hermit has just been promoted to become the bishop of Alexandria. And straight away, there was a change on his face. Yes, yes, there was a scowl over his mouth, and his eyebrows tightened. Satan knew that he had succeeded. He had tempted him to be envious. Yes, so my dear friends, it's not only the non-spiritual people or people who appear or who are capable of sinning. Even people who appear to be spiritual, people who appear to be pursuing holiness, can sin the sin of envy. Now, lots of problems in the church can be traced to this sin, actually, the sin of envy. A Sunday school teacher could be envious of his fellow Sunday school teachers because his fellow Sunday school teachers appear to be doing better than he does. Or an elder can be very, very envious of his fellow elders because his fellow elders appear to be more fruitful than he is. Yes. Now, the problem with envy is that envy does not remain dormant. Envy very, very, very often breaks into open strife. And that is why the writer of the book of Proverbs says, wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, but who can stand or who is able to stand before envy? Case in point would be that of Saul and King Saul and David. Yes, remember that? King Saul was the king of Israel. David was his young general. And they went out together. They fought many battles victoriously. And one day they came back from one of their victories. And as they paraded down the street, the women folk of the city came up to sing. And what did they sing? I mean, of course they sang praises unto their great heroes. And they sang, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Of course, that didn't go down well with Saul. As of that day, Saul eyed David with envy. He pursued him like a hunter would go after a wild animal, until the day when he was close to his death. Yes, that was how hot in pursuit he was for the life of David. Yes. Now, so some people might just pick up quarrel with other members in the church. Why? Because they are envious. Or the envious person might engage himself in stirring up strife in the church. How? By whispering into the ears of other people things about these people whom they are envy of, he's envy of. Yes? And the things often are untrue. And very often, if they are untrue, or they are half true, not really true, but half true. Yes? And then, even if they are true, should we be going around whispering about people, about things that are true, about other people that are very unsavory? My dear friends, we have no business for doing that. If we whisper out of envy, surely we will be generating lots of strife in the church. Now, then in the church, as we said, there is no envy, there is no place for envy in the church because we are to love one another. Now, if we love one another, then we don't envy. We will not envy. Because the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity means love, sacrificial love. Charity envieth not. Sacrificial love does not envy. Love does not envy. Instead of envying people who do well, my dear friends, if we truly love other people, we will be rejoicing with them. And people in the church should be rejoicing when other people are doing well in the church. And so we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you know I have got this problem in my eye. Now I can't imagine my nose or my ears rejoicing when I suffer pain in this eye. I can't imagine them rejoicing. And if this eye doesn't see well, I can't imagine the other parts of my body rejoicing. But I know that the whole body feels very, very good. Let's say after an injection, 2 or 3 weeks after the injection, my eye seems to be seeing better. Every part of my body seems to feel very, very good, my dear friends. And that's true. So that must be the case with us in the church. We are all members of the same body. If one body, one member does well, all should be rejoicing with that member. And there is no place for feeling envy or feeling useless or feeling unwanted if we understand that it is the Lord who places us where we are. And if we understand this truth, the Lord has placed us in certain places, then we will not be envious of one another, because it is He who places us there. Verse 18, chapter 12. But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. Yes, just as He gives us talents, just as He gives us gifts as He wills, not because we chose them or not because we can choose them. So, my dear friends, He places us in our respective positions. Not because we choose to be in those positions, but He has placed us in those positions. We cannot ask for other positions. These are the positions that He has placed us in. Now, that being the case, everybody has his respective position in the church. So no one should be envious of another person in the church. Now, if the Lord has given us certain positions in the church, you can be very, very sure that those positions are the best for us. Now, if we are envious of the positions others are holding, we are actually questioning God's wisdom in placing them in those positions. Did you realize that? Say, God, how come you're not so wise? How can you place these people in that position? I should be in that position. See, we are questioning God's wisdom. Now, be careful, my dear friends, if we ever question God's wisdom, be very, very careful, right? If we ever question God's ability to choose, God's ability to place people, let's be very, very careful. The Word of God has precious lessons to teach us. You remember in the Old Testament, these people known as, these people whose names are Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Remember that? Three persons, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They were very, very envious of Moses and Aaron because of the positions they held. And you know what? They angered God. And as a punishment for them, God opened up the earth, and the earth swallowed them up and their family. The punishment against them was really very, very heavy. So, my dear friends, if we are ever envious of other people, be very careful. Right? We are questioning God's wisdom. And if God chastises us, the chastisement can be very, very heavy. Let us understand this truth. So there is no place for feeling useless, feeling envious, or in the church. And surely there is no place for despising others in the church. So the church has no place for our despising other people. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Now, can you imagine the eye thinking that is superior to the hand and telling the hand, hey, I don't need you, no? Can you imagine that? Or the head telling the foot, hey, foot, you are useless. You are not like me, the head. You are useless. I have no need of you. There's this kind of thinking is simply preposterous. Yet we see this happening in some churches. There are people who think that they are so good, so indispensable, that they despise other people in the church. They think that they are worthless in the church. Friends, let us never ever feel that way. Remember how the New Testament church started. The Lord didn't call those people who were highly educated. He didn't call those who were very, very talented. Now, how many fishermen did He call? Can you remember? Four fishermen at least. Yes, and He called one publican. Then those people who followed Him were by no means people who were very, very talented and very, very educated. No, they were simple folks from the region of Galilee. They were unlearned people, but the Lord was very, very pleased to make use of them to extend His kingdom. So let's recognize, my dear friends, our talents are varied. The eye cannot perform the function of the foot, neither the foot the function of the eye. Each is complementary to one another. Now, if we find someone lacking in some areas, what should we do? Despise them? No, my dear friends, we must try to find ways and means to help those people who are lacking in those areas, to encourage them and to try to help them build up so that their lack will become no lack. Now, what kind of people do we need in the church? I say we need Barnabases in the church. I said that many times before, we need Barnabases. Do you remember Paul and Barnabas? They went out on their first missionary journey. They were missionary partners and they went out on their first missionary trip. And they took along with them this young man by the name of John Mark. Now Mark, being young, inexperienced, he could not take the rigors of the missionary journey. And he dropped out in the first leg, just in the first leg. He dropped out, he couldn't stand it. So these two missionary partners, Paul and Barnabas, continued with their missionary journey, completed their missionary journey after a couple of years. And then they went back to Antioch. Then a few years later, a couple of years later, they said, let's go on our next missionary journey. And when they took on their second missionary journey, Paul did not want John Mark to come along. He was very insistent. But Barnabas said, no, we must have Mark come along. And the contention between the two men was so sharp that they went separate ways. Yes, Paul took along with him Silas, and Barnabas took with him John Mark. Was Barnabas right in taking John Mark along with him? He was proven right. Because in the later part of John Mark's life, he was the man appointed to write the Gospel of Mark. And then Paul, in the latter part of his life, when he was in prison, told Timothy, he was in prison in Rome, he told Timothy, you bring Mark along with you when you come and visit me, because Mark is profitable to me. Can you imagine that? Years later, so you see, Barnabas built up Mark. And these are the kind of people we need in the church, my dear friends. We see people lacking, instead of despising them, instead of writing them off, friends, let's try to build them up in the faith so that they will be useful for the Lord. Then Paul further talks about how vital certain parts of our bodies are, even though they could be very feeble parts. Look at verse 22. Nay, much more, those parts of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now think of our heart and our lungs. Surely our heart and our lungs are more feeble than our arms and our feet. But are they not vital? Friends, they are very, very vital to us. Without them, we die, of course. Now, let's never think that those who are old and sickly, feeble people in the church are of no use to the church. Did you know that these feeble people who could be bedridden could be great prayer warriors for the church? Did you realize that? I told you about this good friend of ours who passed away already, Reverend Dan Ebert, when he was serving out in the missions field, and then now and then he would go back to America on his furlough. And when he went back to America, he always sought his aunt out. His aunt was an old, feeble lady. And Reverend Ebert used to tell us that this was the lady that would be able to move the heart of the one true living God through her prayers. And Reverend Ebert really valued her prayers very much. And he recognized that without her prayers, he and his family could not have been sustained during the time that they were serving in the mission field. Friends, let us recognize that the feeble members in the church are very, very necessary. They are a vital part of the church. Yes, now so should we feel self-righteous and despise those who are not walking close to the Lord. Listen to what Paul says in verse 22 and verse 23. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more honor, more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now, isn't it true? We treat the unpresentable parts of our body with greater modesty. We don't expose them, the unpresentable parts of our body. To expose them would be indecent and would be very embarrassing. In fact, the unpresentable parts of our body will be given the greatest care by us. I'm very sure of that. And when we speak of them, we are very inclined to be using very modest language when we speak of them. Likewise, in the church, we should not despise those who are weak in the faith, those who might not be serving as well as we do. Yes, we are to give them greater attention, to give them greater care. And as we said earlier, we should try our very best to help them so that they can be more effective in the areas that they are lacking in. Now, in fact, it is God's will. Let's understand this truth. It is God's will that the strong and the weak be blended together, so that the weak in the church may be given greater care and attention. Look at verses 24 and 25. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Members should care one for another. Members should love one another. There should be no division in the church. If there is strife and envy in the church, if there is this despising of other people in the church, my dear friends, we are heading for a division in the church. You can be sure of that. If there's envy and strife, despising of other people, you're going to divide the church. And if we are guilty of dividing the church, we are guilty of this terrible sin known as schism, the dividing of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, this is what we should be practicing. Verse 26. And whether one body suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So if somebody doesn't do well, my dear friends, let's feel for that person. Let's suffer with that person. If people do well, let's rejoice with them. That is what we must be doing as members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let not this church be a monster. Let us understand we have all been incorporated into this body by God's mighty Holy Spirit. The word used here is baptized. We have all been baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. It was He in one point in time in our life who opened our heart and caused us to be born again and caused us to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. The church, let us understand, is made up of a variety of people with a variety of talents. And God, and the Lord has chosen us by His grace to be a part of that body through God's mighty Holy Spirit. We have been incorporated into this body. And any time, my dear friends, that we feel useless, we should never feel useless as part of this body, but any time we ever feel useless, remember this boy by the seaside, by the Sea of Galilee, with five loaves and two fishes. He surrendered them to the Lord. The Lord made use of them. So if we feel that we are so useless, too insignificant to be useful, remember, if we are willing to surrender our talents to Him, He is well able to make use of our talents, whether they be two talents or one talent. He's able to make use of them to be a blessing to other people and to use them for the glory of His holy name. And then never let us be envious of other people. Let us never despise other people. My dear friends, understand this truth. We are where we are in the church because the Lord has placed us there. There is no business for us to feel that we are superior to others, and no business for us to despise other people, no business for us to envy other people. And friends, if we ever are envious of other people, remember, we have precious lessons to learn from God's word. If you are envious, God's chastisement can come down upon us. And when it does come down upon us, that chastisement can be very, very heavy. Friends, remember this truth. It is the Holy Spirit who incorporated us into this body. Yes, we are all members of this body. Let us play our roles well, know what we are to do, and then learn how to do the things if we do not know how, And friends, let us do them well for God's glory. If everybody plays his role well in the church, this church will be the most beautiful church. It will be one that glorifies the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Teach us, O Lord God, to realize that we have all been incorporated into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ by God's mighty Holy Spirit. Lord, help us that we may love one another. Help us, O Lord God, that we may not be envious of one another. Help us that we may not despise one another. And help us, O Lord God, to not think of ourselves as being useless. Surely, O Lord God, you have given us talents, and we pray that you will enable us to be willing to surrender our talents to you for you to make use of, whether they be 5 talents or 2 talents or even 1 talent. And Lord, we thank you for the lessons that we have learned, that even if we have only 1 talent and we give it to you, you are able to use that talent to be a blessing to others and to glorify your holy name. Lord, and help us, O Lord God, to each one of us to play our roles well in the church, so that this church may indeed be a very beautiful church. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.